Good morning.
Merry Christmas
to you too. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We begin by singing the invocation, O come all you faithful. The next step is to confess our sins. It's a very important step in the worship that we are able to identify our sins, because we're going to be receiving forgiveness through the Word. And as we remember our baptisms, and as we remember receiving the body and the blood of Jesus Christ to live inside of us, giving us power, that we may truly repent of our sins. Now, how are we going to repent if we don't know our sins, so we confess? Let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, as if I mattered most. I should my worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me. So my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all this and ask for grace. I want to do better. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And now, let's hear from the angels. Angels we have heard on high. Comes the main part, the Word of God. The first rendition of the Word of God is from John chapter 1, a very interesting piece of biblical liturgy where we see that Jesus is the creator of all things. Kind of interesting. You know, in catechism we learned that the Father was the creator of all things, but he wasn't alone, was he? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all working together in concert, accomplishing all of God's will. John 1, 1-18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Actually, is God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not that light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." So far, the lesson. The second reading is the familiar Christmas passage from Luke. This blessed passage which we have heard year after year after year that never gets old. There are passages in here that call to remember all the different Sunday school passages, the Sunday school programs. The one that brings to mind is where Mary kept all these things and pounded them in her heart. I can remember the young fellow who's standing up there. Okay, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made known widely the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. So far the text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Paintings and books that were acclaimed a few years ago are now forgotten. Others, spurned in their day, are now firmly enshrined in the Hall of Fame. Schubert could not find steady employment in his day. Rembrandt died bankrupt. Mozart was obliged to work himself into a state of tuberculosis. Paderewski was scorned by German critics. Van Gogh's paintings were spat on by respectable Dutch burghers in his native land. Giuseppe Verdi was refused admission to the Milan Conservatory of Music. But Jesus was the classic example of all of these. He represented more than education and culture. He was and is the very truth and life. He was rejected more completely than any. Yet over 2,000 years have not been able to dim the glory of his teachings, of his workings, of his accomplishments. The genuine endures. By faith, we have the real thing. Faith is the only way we may obtain any of God's gracious gifts, especially the comforting relationship we have with the triune God. A popular confession of faith that we hear throughout the land is, "I'm a Christian." But when we delve a little deeper into that, they think a Christian is, we see without a doubt that they have no real faith. They're not Christians, but only want to think so. They want to get on the bandwagon with everyone else on the way to paradise, but they don't want to get involved. They don't want to play an instrument in the band, they just want to ride the wagon. You and I have received Jesus. Initially, when we were baptized, we received the wonderful promise of everlasting life and that unity that we have with Him because of what He has accomplished. Then that faith grew as we received the Word of God, and we continued to believe with a stronger faith. Our relationship with God increases as we receive the body and the blood of Jesus Christ to live within us, that wonderful gift, the sacrament of the altar. Unfortunately, there are many who don't know the real blessings of the gift. For if they did, they would realize why it's so important for us to celebrate the sacrament every Sunday, every divine service, receiving Jesus as He was given. Faith is not stagnant, but continues to grow and live. True faith and trust in Jesus is the only way to truly receive Jesus and His benefits, the gifts of life everlasting. Now that's really good news. And so the angels announced the birth of Jesus the Christ. I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be to you and all people. This is great joy to these people because they had been studying the Word of God. They were studying the Old Testament. And there are hundreds and hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament about the Messiah, the Christ, who was to come and save His people from their sins, who was to come and be a king forever. For 4,000 years, they had been waiting. And unfortunately, because they missed Him when He came, they're still looking forward to His coming, not realizing that He's already come. And so we pray for them regularly. Lord, open their minds to see that Jesus has come, that Jesus has done what God promised He would do. And so this is a message of great joy to you, that is to the Jews, and to all people. It isn't just the Jews who Jesus came to save, but it was the Gentiles too. It was you and me. We people who were not God's chosen, but are now God's chosen. We are God's chosen. We are His elect, the ones he chose from before the creation of the world to be his very own people. That's you and me. He loved us so much that he knew us before he even created the world. You think about that. What was foremost in his mind at creation is you and me, as he was remembering us and our need for a Savior. For even before creation, God knew we were going to need a Savior, because he knew the mind of man. He created man. He knew what we were. And we need him. And that's good news, that he is there for us, that God has that great love for us. And so, great joy for you and all people. For there is born to you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, this is pointing back to a prophecy that God had made to King David, that he would have a descendant on the throne forever and ever. That's Jesus, who is our King, who rules now and forever, because he is God. He is the one who is there. He is there because God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit love you. And they don't want you to have to bear the punishment of our sins. We've been accused of downplaying what hell is. But let's not kid ourselves. Hell is terrible. It's the most terrible thing you can ever imagine. Being burned up continually, never passing out, never being unconscious, but being conscious continually. Being conscious of burning up forever and ever, without God, without hope. That's the punishment we deserve. But that's from what we have been saved. We keep talking about salvation, and this is what it's all about. Saving us from what we deserve. God loves us. He does not want us to do that. And so he accomplished the whole thing by sending his Son into the world to take our place. This is the Christ, the promised one, the anointed one, the Messiah, come to deliver us from what we deserve. Praise God that we have that deliverance. Praise God that we have that deliverance. And instead of that, he's given us life forever with him in heaven. So what do you have to do to earn that life everlasting in heaven? Nothing. You got it. Nothing. What do we try to do? We try to keep the law? Yeah, we do. We try to keep the law. Why? Not because I have to, but because I want to. Because I love God. I am so grateful to God for what he has done for us that we want to obey his commandments. We want to follow his ways because we know intellectually this is the best way to go. His laws for you and me are what is really great. David writes in the Psalms, especially Psalm 119, "Oh Lord, how I love your law!" Doesn't sound right, does it? "Oh Lord, how I love your laws. Sock me with another thou shalt, another thou shalt not." But you know what? In every one of those is wisdom of God imparted to us, so that you and I have a better idea of how to live a better life in this world. This is good news. Good news that the angels bring to the shepherds. Good news that God has come. You know, Easter time is a time when we remember how Jesus suffered. But Christmas is another time to think about how Jesus suffered. You know, he's God. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was, he is God. Since before time began, Jesus is God. He's the Creator. He has all this power and might and glory. but he gave it up to become a fetus in the womb of Mary. All that power he gave up to be completely helpless. As Mary held that little baby was helpless. You've all had the honor, the privilege of holding a child, a little one, and how blessed they are, how dependent they are on the adults around them to take care of them. How dependent this child is, how he had to give up his independence. He had to give up his power, his glory, to be a completely helpless human being. A human being. All Jesus had experienced as God of human beings was sinfulness. Our terrible sinfulness. How God loves us anyway, that he would be willing to humble himself to such a degree. Man, I just can't even fathom the great difference between being God and then being human, a human baby. How he gave up so much. And then to be mistreated by man all the way through. John's gospel tells us, he who created the world came into the world and the world wasn't ready for him. The world didn't recognize him. It didn't know him. It rejected him. The church itself spurned Jesus, denied his Godhead, denied his being the Son of God, denied his being the Christ. Tried to destroy him. And ultimately, convinced Pontius Pilate to have him crucified. What great love he has for you and me, and how grateful we are to know that he has done everything. He's done everything. There's nothing more for you and me to do to ensure our salvation except be in the Word of God regularly. Be in the Word of God regularly. I pray every night and every morning that God would bless those who are not here, that he'd help them to realize the foolishness of their decision to put their saving faith, their eternal life, in jeopardy by turning their back on the Word and sacraments and avoiding the services. Please, Lord, give them the realization of how important it is to be in the Word and sacraments regularly so they'll be in church every week to receive the Word and sacraments for the strengthening of their faith so that they, like we, can be assured, confident, that they will live with God forever in heaven. You know, when people have fallen away from that regular attendance, that regular reception of God's Word and sacrament, they fall into the trap of the world's religion. The world's religion. If I'm good enough, God will love me. If I'm good enough, I can get to go to heaven. If I'm good enough. But I can't be. And so the world's religion is false leading. It's a lie. It does nothing except give us a false promise. Just the idea that if I'm good enough. What does that mean? The Bible tells you, you must be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That means entirely, completely, without any sin, without any black marks. Can any of us claim that? I know I can't. Just ask my wife, she'll tell you. But seriously, it's such a danger for people to think, okay, I've heard it all now. Now I know it. I don't have to go to church anymore. I don't have to be in the Word of God anymore. I can slide on that faith that I've received and then watch that faith in God turn to faith in my own ability, in my own ability to be good. That's a false god. It's a false god, and it always was. And so this is why it's so important for us to be in that word and sacraments regularly, because we need it. It's like food for the body, the Holy Spirit for the soul. Keep us, O Lord God, always with you, because we need his salvation. Then the multitude of angels sang out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Glory to God in the heavens. The angels are singing praise to God because now the salvation plan is set into motion. Jesus Christ is born. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is born. He's in the world now, flesh and blood, ready to accomplish all that God has planned for him to do, to suffer all that he must to take our place. Glory to God, the angels keep singing. We, a few months ago, finished our Bible study on the book of Revelation. What a tremendous book to go through and study as we see all the terrible things that are going to happen on the earth, but not for us to worry, because that is for the unbeliever. For the unbeliever who doesn't have the promise of everlasting life with God in heaven. No matter what happens to us here, we know we're going to heaven. We are confident because of what Jesus has accomplished for us. There's also worshiping God, glory to God here on earth. As you and I receive the Word of God, as we receive the sacraments, as our faith is strengthened, we receive that joy, that everlasting joy, that completeness of knowing I'm going to heaven no matter what. Yeah, I experience depression from time to time. Sometimes I feel very depressed because of my failures, because of the things I hoped to do and never did. And especially now at 83 years old, oh my goodness, I'm getting so... Last Friday I had to call my son Bob. "Bob, please come over. That tree fell down and it's blocking half the road, and I tried to cut it, but I can't get my chainsaws to work. Please, Bob, come over. I'm just at a wit's end." Praise God for our kids. You know, that they're able to come and make up for our aged infirmities. But it happens, okay? But even in these times of depression, when I'm feeling bad because I can no longer do what I used to do, I know God is with me. God is there to provide help. Even through my kids, God is there to help. And I praise God. He is always there to help. He's there to help me with the reminder of his love, of what he's accomplished through Jesus Christ, that I know I'm going to live forever with him in heaven. And in that knowledge, in that confidence, that overrides the depression. That overrides the negative in my life. That positive is so strong that it lifts us out. And how blessed we are to be lifted up by God. He is so great. Peace on earth. Well, he's not talking about cessation of wars, obviously. There are always wars, always rumors of wars. Jesus predicted this with his disciples. But what he's talking about here is he's talking about that peace that you and I can experience in our relationship with God. I don't have to worry about having to pay for my sins. I don't have to worry about the wrath of God, which we deserve. I don't have to worry about that. The judgment, hey, that's all taken care of. Because you see, when Jesus came into the world, he came into the world without sin. Now, you and I can't claim that, can we? We came into the world with inherited sin. We inherited our sin from our fathers. Did you know that? Dads, you're the one responsible for that kid's misbehavior. Yeah. The women are all saying, yeah, yeah. We inherit our sins from our father to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me in Exodus chapter 20. So what about Jesus? What about his inherited sin? Who was his father? God, who is sinless. So he didn't have a sinful father from whom to receive a sinful nature. So he came in to the world with a head start. And then he lived the perfect life. Perfect God's righteousness in human form for you and me. Earning for us the very goodness of God. Earning for us the very righteousness of God. So we don't have to worry about standing in judgment. The verdict has already been handed down. Innocent. A pardon, complete, by the power of God. So what about our sins? We don't have to worry about that either. Because Jesus was, again, taking our place. As he took our place in life, so he took our place in his death. Death on the cross. Suffering for us. In our place. So that we don't have to. He fulfilled the requirement of the law. The wages of sin is death, and so he died in your place and mine. So we are freed from all that. We have this wonderful gift of God. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, and when he lived that life of perfection, he did it for everyone. We call this objective justification. Everyone is saved. Now, there's people out there who don't believe in Jesus. I don't want his justification. I don't want his salvation. Doesn't make any difference. God gave it to him anyway. But if they don't receive it, they don't have it. There was a man named George Wilson many, many years ago who received a pardon from President Johnson. Now, President Johnson gave this man a pardon. He was convicted guilty of murder and mail theft. But this man refused the pardon. Now, we're not told us why he would do such a thing, but he refused the pardon. So what are they going to do? Are they going to hang him or set him free? Well, it went to the Supreme Court. Now, listen to this. The Supreme Court ruled that a pardon is just a piece of paper until it's received by the individual. He refused it. So they hung him. That's called subjective justification. We receive the wonderful gift of pardon, the wonderful gift of everlasting life from God, that wonderful gift of being judged innocent by God. We receive it by faith, and only by faith, by believing in what Jesus accomplished. Now, some people say, I believe in Jesus. And when you investigate a little bit further, you find out that really what they mean is, I acknowledge that he existed. But that's not the point. The point is, our faith is in what he accomplished. What he accomplished, the righteousness of God in your name, the forgiveness of sins in your name. He accomplished this so you can live forever with him in heaven. What a blessing. What a blessing for us. Is that good news? Is this something for which we praise God continuously? Amen. But what do we do about it? The end of Matthew, it says, go into all the world, teaching and baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ. That's a call to you and to me. May we ever follow the example of the disciples. What did the disciples do? There it is. Okay. They made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. They made widely known. They were so amazed. They were so thrilled with this wonderful gift that God had given us in this child that they were spreading the good news. And that is good news. Why can't we also share the good news? The good news that your sins are forgiven, that you have the very goodness of God written on your record, so that you don't worry about the end. You don't have to worry about the judgment. It's already been decided in your favor. You're free from sin. Not free to sin, free from sin. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. But how important a difference it is to know we are free from the accusation of sin. We will not die, but we will live forever. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. You know, that town of Bethlehem is so important in the Christmas history that we have. We first hear about it way back in the book of Ruth, when Naomi and her husband and two sons went to Moab. And when Naomi came back, no sons, no husband, but only one of the daughters-in-law, Ruth. She married Boaz. And Boaz and Ruth had a son. And they had a son named Jesse. And he had a son named David. and on down through the ages to Jesus Christ. And so, oh, little town of Bethlehem, how much history there is wrapped up in that little tiny town. Let us now confess our Christian faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for being our God, for revealing yourself to us, for giving us the Holy Bible, for showing us that you are the creator of all things, that you are God, and that you love us so much that you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to live for us and to die for us, to live for us, earning for us the righteousness of God, and to die for us, earning for us the forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord, for sending the Holy Spirit to create in us the faith that receives the wonderful gift of righteousness and forgiveness. Keep us, O Lord God, always mindful, always aware of all that you have done and are doing, that we will be eternally grateful, always singing praises to your holy name. And Lord, we thank you for all of our friends and our family members. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with each and every one of them, giving them that strong, saving Christian faith and using them mightily in your kingdom. Keep them faithful, Lord, so they will live with us forever in heaven. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless them with the health and the healing that they need according to your will. Your will be done. And Lord, we pray the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. And I thank you all for being here this evening, this morning. And God bless you. And I wish you a very, very Merry Christmas as you remember and praise God for the love he has shown in that infant child. Merry Christmas.
Shepherds come.
On December 28th, there will be services. And there will be a Bible study afterwards. And I thank you. I look forward to seeing you Sunday. God bless you. Merry Christmas.